Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday,
1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time,
and you're listening to the news with your host, Venger Satanis, and the Beast.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. I'm T.C. Downey, and this is my co-host, Venger Satanis. Venger, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, as usual. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man.
Good.
I'm kind of excited about this show today. It's going to be a little bit different than what we usually do, and I think that, if anything, it should be somewhat entertaining.
I think horror movies is something that we love, and hopefully most people listening or into the cult or Satanism or the left-hand path are also into horror movies, so should be a lot to talk about and a fun subject to cover.
Absolutely. Speaking of the horror movies, what exactly, what's your favorite horror movie? You had to pick just one.
Yeah, if someone put a gun to my head and forced me to pick just one, it would have to be The Thing, directed by John Carpenter, sometime in the 80s with Kurt Russell and a bunch of other actors. That's, if I had to pick one, that would be my favorite.
So that would be, that's the all-time best one, huh?
Yeah.
Is there a particular element about it that you like over other horror movies?
Well, really, I think for it to be my favorite, I think it has to excel on all possible levels. So I'm going to try to list as many as I can think of at the moment. First thing that comes to mind is the musical score. I believe Ennio Morricone was
right.
The composer for most of the Thing's music or the score, and he did a lot of the spaghetti westerns too. So he's very well known and well respected. I think the music just captures the feel of, you know, the setting and the place and the atmosphere. It's very dark, droning, but it has an organic kind of feel, like a heartbeat or something. And that goes along with the setting and the place. I think it's very remote, and not a lot of movies are set in the Arctic region. There are a lot of Lovecraft parallels, which is cool. I love the ending. It's kind of ambiguous and not a super happy ending, nor is it like total like catastrophe or gloom and doom. It's kind of somewhere in the middle, but it definitely has a dark flavor. I think the acting is great. I think John Carpenter did a great job of directing it. The special effects, oh my God. Some of the special effects in that movie. I'm trying to think of the guy that did that. I want to say Rob Bottin. But he did things in that movie, special effects-wise, that have seldom or maybe even never duplicated. They're that awesome. What else? It's just the script. The script is great. It's horrifying. It's a scary movie. It also has science fiction elements, which I think lend more to the unknown. And I think a really great horror movie has to cater to or embrace a sense of the unknown. And I think there are a few ways to do that. There's like the supernatural avenue, and then there's using something that's more alien in order to get a certain feeling for the unknown. And so the thing uses that. I mean, a lot of horror movies use the supernatural, which is awesome, all well and good. But I have a special place in my heart for horror movies that use elements of science fiction to create that atmosphere of the unknown. I don't know. I guess that's it. I assume you've seen The Thing, so I'd be happy to hear your opinion on what you think. I don't expect other people to agree that, yes, that's the greatest horror movie ever made, but usually people have a fairly high opinion of it I've encountered. So yeah, tell me your thoughts.
My thoughts are, well, pretty simple. It was a great movie. I mean, overall, was it something that would have gone into my top 10? No. But it was definitely within the top 20, so...
No, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great movie, but I guess to some extent, I've seen a lot of playing on the idea of a creature of some kind. For instance, Slither is one of the movies I'm thinking of that has some similar elements to it.
Okay, that's a relatively new movie, right?
Right.
It came out in the last few years. I haven't seen it. I think I actually bought it on DVD a little while ago, but I haven't watched it yet.
Right. Well, I mean, there's not an extraordinary amount of parallels to it, but
right.
There's enough that there's a certain portion of it that, it's extremely entertaining to me, and I really enjoy watching it, but it doesn't terrify me is the problem.
Thing doesn't terrify you?
The Thing doesn't terrify me. Movies of that nature typically don't terrify me.
Okay. Well, let me ask this. What movie or movies do terrify you? Or have?
Okay, number one on my list. My all-time favorite movie is actually relatively new. It's, I believe it was made in 2008, actually. It's called The Strangers. Have you seen it?
Yeah, okay. I have seen it.
Now, what's fucking horrifying about this, to me, is it's your everyday, mundane life. Nothing special is going on. There's nothing particular about you. It's just all of a sudden someone shows up and decides that basically they're going to fucking just brutalize you. And they're going to terrify you, and they're going to taunt you, and they're just going to continuously push at you until they're done playing with the rat, and then they kill it.
Right.
And that those kind of movies are really scary to me. The idea that all of a sudden this element can just pop up in my backyard that's hostile to me, and it doesn't have to be alien, it doesn't have to be demonic, it doesn't have to be otherworldly. It can be something from this world.
Right. And now that you mentioned that, actually, that would be I was trying to think of the third thing that a horror movie can use as a device or a vehicle to scare someone and still use that element of that characteristic of the unknown. So I think something outside our experience, because it has like an alien nature. Something from beyond our solar system or universe or planet or whatever. So that's the first one. And then the supernatural, like the demonic or, something with a more spiritual or religious nature, incorporating magic, like that. That'd be number two. And then the third one, I think that's kind of what you illustrated just now, and that's you know, the real world, that some things can happen to us, or things can come about just in our normal everyday life that's unexpected, and that we just don't really fully understand or comprehend. Like some guy in a mask just, you know, trying to kill us. You know, that has its own special unknown quality and capacity to frighten us. So yeah, I guess that would be number three. And I think all great horror movies have to use one of the three. That's the way it strikes me. I haven't done a lot of in-depth thinking about that, but
I would have to concur with you. I can actually think of another element that might be explored that could create the same kind of terror that those three things do. I mean, let me see. I guess it depends on the level of suspense also that's involved within the movie itself. I can remember being a young child and watching Alien, the original Alien, and when the creatures appeared, it wasn't so horrible when you could actually see them, but it was those moments just before, those couple of seconds where you know something's right there behind and it's getting ready to jump out, and you know, you almost want to go, "Hey, you, turn the fuck around or run."
Right, right. You put yourself in the place of the person that's about to get, you know, killed or eaten or whatever, and you know, you have that instinctive physical reaction of like, "Oh my God, if that was me, I better run the fuck away because it's gonna get me." And so you have that experience, and for the first a second or two, you know, you're in the movie and you're living it as the victim, I guess, which is, you know, what makes it scary. I guess if you were yourself as the alien, you'd be like, "Oh yeah, it's lunchtime," or whatever, or like, "Oh, this fucker's in my way," and you'd dispatch it pretty quickly. But you identify with, you know, the victim in some way,
I want to just take a quick second and do a little sidestep here, because I really think that it's fascinating how one particular genre, now horror is not the only genre that actually can do this, but it seems to occur more frequently in horror than it does in other genres. But when a movie has such a well-thought plot or an element of suspense in it that it draws you and connects you emotionally to that, and you can identify with the victim, I think it's kind of a natural phenomenon, because most people are only victimized on a small level. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know how we're able to actually understand the terror that's attached to the imagery that we're watching when we've not actually lived through it. That's a very complicated entity in itself.
Uh-huh.
In other words, how is it that we're able to identify with the victim in such a horrendous thing when, you know, we probably have never experienced anything even close to that?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. Well, I think fear is a universal quality, and I should probably also mention, I think I've mentioned it before on the show, and definitely in my writing and such, a quote from Lovecraft that I believe he put in his supernatural horror and literature essay. That is that the oldest and strongest emotion of mankind is fear, and the oldest and strongest fear is fear of the unknown. And I think people can relate to and identify with fear. You know, I think people's imagination allows them to extrapolate any time they've ever been afraid with what they can see as, like, you know, a scary or fearful or victimizing situation. You know, I've never drowned before, but, you know, if you watch a person, like, head being, you know, pushed into a bathtub full of water or something, and they can't breathe, you know, you know, they start to drown, you know what that's like, just because, I don't know, you can imagine it, even though you've never actually experienced it yourself. And it can make you feel afraid, I guess, or you can relate to the character's fear or their suffering.
Right. Well, now, going ahead and just kind of running with the character's suffering, one of the classic elements of horror movies that has developed over the years of them producing these is the stupid shit that they do during the movies, the victims themselves, like running upstairs.
Right.
Answering the phone again after you've already been hung up on, you know, a couple of times.
Right.
Ignoring
a warning that, you know, that someone just happens to give you, like, oh yeah, that place is nicknamed Camp Blood. You probably shouldn't go there. Or you know that scary looking castle that's off there in the distance that you're trying to get to? You should just turn around and go home because you don't want any part of that.
Right. You know, on one hand, I want to encourage people to explore the unknown, but on the other hand, don't put yourself in a situation where there's not multiple exits.
Right. And that's the thing with the unknown. It's scary, but it's also fascinating, and it attracts maybe not everybody, but it attracts a certain set of people. And I think watching someone penetrate into the unknown is also very fascinating and captivating, and a lot of people want to watch that. I think that's one of the appeals of horror movies. You get to see someone else, you know, pierce the veil of the unknown, whatever's out there or in there. And, you know, that's just exciting and interesting to watch, especially from the safety of your couch or your bed, wherever you're watching TV or movies.
Right. What was the first horror movie you ever saw? Do you remember?
Like straight through?
Yeah, straight through. The first one that you could actually sit down and watch the whole thing.
I don't know if a lot of people know this, but when I was very young, horror movies used to just totally freak me out. And I would get pretty scared, and to the point where I just couldn't watch them. It became so real in my young mind that I just couldn't take it. And I think that's part of the appeal now, that there's a part of me that believes that, oh yeah, it's possible, and I can live in that world and become a part of that reality of the horror movie. Yet my logical part of my mind is like, oh yeah, and it's also just a movie. It's not real. So I can enjoy this in its reality, but at the same time I can know that it's not real, and I can watch it from a safe psychic distance. But so I had to be brought in very carefully and intently into the horror movie world. I think my friend Kevin Nelson, way back in like sophomore year of high school, had me watch like the 1930s Dracula with Bela Lugosi. And then from there, I don't know, maybe like Dawn of the Dead or something. I like the original 70s version. I can remember
Well, my first one was Night of the Living Dead. So,
okay.
And that might be what you're referring to, black and white film?
No, this was, I think this was Dawn of the Dead.
Dawn of the Dead.
A couple years later that I saw Night of the Living Dead. But I like that too. I so long ago. I can remember seeing movies that kind of scared me, but I could sit through them, like Beastmaster. I had a couple like scary parts to, I don't know, a 10-year-old boy with a very big imagination, things like that. I can remember the first horror scene, and that was actually the thing, that part where he's trying to give the guy, doing the chest thing because the guy's having a heart attack, and then his chest cavity just rips open, becomes jaws, and then the whole thing. Like, I remember just surfing through the channels and landing on HBO, and this thing was going on. It was kind of dramatic, and I was like, oh, so I'll just watch that for a couple seconds. And then all that shit started happening. I was just like, oh, my God. It's like scared and freaked me out. I think I turned the channel. But then I was so intrigued by what was going to happen that I turned the channel back because even though I was scared, I was like, utterly fascinated and into like this horror thing that was happening. So
now I think Night of the Living Dead, the original Night of the Living Dead, which was my first horror film, it had to be the last and maybe the first and only zombie movie that was truly scary, in my opinion.
Do you think that's the case because of the movie itself or because it's first one you remember watching?
I think it's because of the movie itself. There's just this element of, again, that's that same theme of this occurring in our natural world, and I think it was just like, wow, I never even thought about the people coming back from the dead and
right.
You know, eating, you know, and I don't know, and now, you know, it's kind of, you look at, like, I just saw Zombieland this past week, fucking great flick. But it's a comedy. There's nothing horrific about it, nothing scary about it.
Right.
I mean, and, one of the things that I think is cool about it is that they actually encompass some zombie hunting rules.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's definitely not a horror flick. And I think zombie movies have definitely just taken this turn where they're not scary anymore. There's not that element of, okay, I've pushed the dresser up against the drawer, up against the door, and all of a sudden something's banging on the door and it's trying to bust in.
Right, yeah, I agree. But, a lot of zombie movies that come out now, you know, they're zombie comedies or something like that. They're more amusing than they are scary. So when the first time you saw Night of the Living Dead was, just on TV, or
actually, my sister's father bought it, and it was on VHS.
Okay.
And I was about 6 years old, and my brother and sister were made to go to bed, and I was told I could stay up to watch the adult movie if I want.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, cool. I'll stay up and watch the adult movie. So now, keep in mind, you know, this is, you know, 10 o'clock at night, and for a six-year-old, that's late already.
Yeah.
You know, and they flipped this movie on, and I remember, as you know, it started coming about, if the first couple of times that someone got ripped apart by one of these zombies, I remember putting my hands over my eyes and cracking my fingers apart just to look between it, and then all of a sudden, I was just like, you know what? That's just way too fucking cool.
Okay.
And so I took my hand off my eyes, and I sat and I watched the rest of the movie, and I went to bed after that. And I didn't have any nightmares or anything. And the next day, I got up, and I said, that was just the most awesome experience I've ever had. I love horror movies. And ever since then, ever since then, it's been awesome. You know, there was a period in the early 80s where everybody was watching movies that were like Freddy Krueger or Jason or Halloween, and there was nothing really scary about them to me.
Yeah.
It seemed more of like an action film with a horror spin to it.
Right. You were one jaded guy, TC. And that's cool. I mean, that's who you are, and that's your experience. But I just think that's funny sometimes, because your experience of things in the world is much different than my own. That's funny. I can imagine you, being 6 years old and watching it and being like, no, this is awesome. Like, I'm just gonna keep watching it.
It was awesome. Shortly after that, I started really getting into really obscure movies. There was this movie called, I believe it was called Nomad, if I remember right, was the name of the movie. And that was a real suspense-packed horror film as well. And it was really just excellent. I mean, just creepy, excellent, really good movie. And then, I don't know, after a little while, you start to see all of these reoccurring themes, and it gets hard to scare you.
Yeah, sure.
That's where, I guess, like porn, I started beginning to categorize in my mind different types of horror films. For instance, there's the mechanical type of horror film. When I'm thinking of this, I'm thinking of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Hills Have Eyes. I'm trying to think of other films. Jigsaw.
What did you call it? Mechanical?
Mechanical, yeah.
Why mechanical?
Because the people are going through like a breakdown. They're being broken down by their killer. They're being put through this level of suspense and
you mean like psychological terror.
Psychological terror, yeah, but it's very mechanical. It's very you can identify with it because you stepped on a nail before and you know what it feels like to have a piece of metal, pushed through your flesh.
Okay.
It's something that's built up more along the lines of just gore.
Right. Okay, I think that goes along with the third type of horror movie, something that's based on real experience and something that could actually happen to you, like in real life.
I think that's the ultimate goal when you're trying to create horror, whether you're using the supernatural element, whether you're using the alien element, whether you're using the hyper real element. What's got to happen is you have to get your person to identify, your viewer to identify with the victim.
Right.
And that's very key in all of them. You know, you've got to identify with the victim. I remember seeing some quote unquote horror flicks, and I'm trying to remember offhand that with the names of them, but they were more geared to champion the actual killer rather than get you to identify with the victim. And some of those were successful, at least as far as being super strange movies. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie May.
No, I still haven't. No, you told me about it a few times. I haven't
seen
it yet.
Yeah, May is just like that. You begin to associate yourself with the killer and not the victims.
Yeah.
And you begin to psychologically attach yourself to this homely, secluded, majorly psychotic little girl who, her only friend in the world was this doll. And I don't know, it's a different angle. I think I'm not even really sure if you can classify it as horror in that manner.
Sounds like it is.
I mean, like, for instance, Hannibal. There's another good example. All the Hannibal Lecter films.
Mm-hmm.
You begin to more identify yourself, try to identify yourself with the killer rather than the victim.
Right, right. Yeah, I think that can be very effective. I think the first one, the original, Silence of the Lambs, is very powerful and works on a bunch of different levels. And it's also a great film, and, you know, it's got such an amazing villain, Hannibal Lecter, played by Anthony Hopkins, that, yeah, that's one of the appeals, that you can identify with, you know, you identify more with him and Agent Starling, Jodie Foster. You identify with her too a little bit. The victims, you almost don't even know enough about the victims to identify with them, and so it's a whole different kind of experience.
I think, I mean, I'm a huge fan of horror, and it doesn't matter what package it comes in myself.
Right.
But, you know, being, I guess, jaded, as you just called me, I do look for a particular appeal. You know, I'm looking for something that's going to give me a new level of possible terror. You know, I remember... Because it had been years after I had started watching horror films before I actually watched my first Clive Barker film, Hellraiser.
Okay.
And the level that it transcended was beyond the werewolf zombie serial killer experience. What came to my mind, I mean, I actually was terrified the first time that I watched that film, because here was this man who was so evil and so selfish that he went to the ends of the world looking for this device that the device itself was centered around this eternal pleasure through pain.
Right.
And I just thought the aspects of that were just absolutely awakening.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something about Hellraiser that I think is just very awesome, and I think speaks to a lot of horror movie fans. Yeah, I love most of the Hellraiser series, at least the first four films, I think are pretty great, but especially the first one.
Right. I loved the film so much that I started reading the comics. I read all the books that were attached to it. I even have the schematics, and I haven't done it yet, but I have the schematics to actually create my own box.
Awesome. Okay.
With moving pieces.
Cool.
But it's going to be some time before I can actually sit down and do that. And fortunately for me, I have the advantage of knowing a master carpenter who's willing to work on it with me. But it'll eventually come into fruition, and I will certainly be happy to have that and utilize it. I'll probably play with it as much as I can.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? But I just, that was something I really got into. And then as I got into Clive Barker's stuff, I started to realize that there were different tiers, different levels of horror films that had different philosophical backgrounds and natures to them by themselves. I mean, everything that Clive Barker writes about tends to be of a very esoteric, occult nature, you know, like the things the world has been trying to forget about, kind of deal, rather than the Elephant Man or something that was born unnaturally.
Yeah.
You know, exorcists, I love them for the same reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Although I can't say that the one thing that Exorcist and The Omen never delivered that I really wish they had was a little more theology to go with them. Mm-hmm. You know, for instance, in my mind, I'm thinking about the recent film, The Exorcist, The Beginning, where they go inside of this temple, and the only things that they really talk about is how it looks like, you know, this temple's built to hold something down and not to, and most of them are built to exalt heaven. And, you know, I think that it would have been really cool if they could have just somehow given a little more information to go with it.
Yeah. I think that's hard to do for horror movies. I don't know if people are, or the people that are writing the scripts are conscious of, is that if you reveal too much and explain too much, then it becomes less unknown and therefore a little bit less scary. But
sure.
And then also there's the chance that the people writing the script don't either have an opinion, or they don't know, or they don't have enough grasp on, you know, aliens or the supernatural, or what it's like to be, you know, a killer in the real world, to fill in those gaps adequately. And so, rather than doing it wrong, or misleading people, or screwing it up, they decide to just, you know, leave it open-ended or leave it blank, not really discuss.
Sure.
My
thing would be, it would be more about the scenery and things that are inside of it, the symbolic background, you know, being there, and you know, all the props and pieces that go to it. That would be more of the hints that I'm talking about, and less of the actual discussion of it. One of the things that I'm trying to remember, I think it's the Halloween series. One of the things about that is that there's this deal where every so often, you know, there's this child born that wipes out his bloodline, you know, and it doesn't really go much more into that, but it gives you this more primal understanding of what's going on. I believe that's in the Halloween aspect. If I remember right, it's that's why it's the murders always happen on Halloween, and why he's always coming back on Halloween, because, you know, that's, you know, of course, Samhain, you know, which is a Druidic holiday. Mm-hmm. But that's just my thoughts on it. You know,
I was never a huge Halloween fan, so I don't know as much about those movies or that mythology as probably a lot of other horror movie fans. I always thought, you know, especially the first one, Halloween was a very decent, you know, slasher film, but I don't know. I don't think it was all that fantastic. I definitely prefer things like like Friday the 13th, you know, that kind of slasher movie. And I think John Carpenter directed Halloween, and I think of his horror movies, that's, you know, maybe that's in the middle. I think, you know, well, like I said before, The Thing, I think, is my favorite of his. But then The Prince of Darkness is way up there, too. That's definitely my top 10. And probably In the Mouth of Madness, too, mostly because of the Lovecraftian issues.
I liked In the Mouth of Madness. I thought that was really cool. And that, I believe, is one that I would say is in my top 10 of favorites.
Okay.
Yeah,
that one, the philosophical aspects, I think, really put it above and beyond the average, you know, supernatural horror movie.
Sure. one of the things that I liked that Lovecraft did in his writing that was very easy to reflect into movies that were made from different stories of his. I liked the background that he did lay out, the way that he could paint the picture and give you a sense of it being very old and without having to divulge too much information.
Yeah, I agree. He seemed to give away just enough so you get a good idea and you get a suggestion of the layers that go beyond or that go underneath whatever he's writing about. But at the same time, he pulls back a little bit and he doesn't give you everything. He leaves enough gaps for your imagination to fill in and other authors to use whatever he wrote as a template for their own mythos adventures.
All right. Well, without luck, Pan's Hook's going to call in here in a few minutes. We've had him on the show before. I put up the number, and he was offering just a moment ago, so I'm sure it's just a matter of getting himself situated, but it'd be really cool to take a look at somebody else's view on horror films, or for that matter, whatever he wants to talk about.
Yeah, definitely.
And we're actually just beginning to approach our Undiluted Truth segment, so the confines of horror can be removed pretty simply.
Yeah, although quickly, I'm sure you've seen Evil Dead or Evil Dead 2.
Oh, absolutely. I love those.
Yeah.
Army of Darkness is probably my favorite.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. That's in one of my top tens.
Okay. So, if I was going to rate horror comedies, that Army of Darkness would probably be in my top ten, too. But there's just too much that makes me laugh, I guess, to really call it, or really to see it as a horror movie in my mind.
There were some elements that were somewhat scary about it. It wasn't over the top. The first one, Evil Dead, the very first one, it had this creepy, weird kind of to it. And I think that's what really made the movie. The elements of the film were done in a humorous manner, but at the same time, you really didn't know what to expect because that kind of film hadn't really been done at that point in time.
Right. Yeah, they had a fresh, new approach. And I think because it was their first effort, and I think they filmed it on 16mm, it had sort of a rough kind of rural, sort of an earnestness or unpolished.
You really didn't know what to expect. Pants off, you got to actually turn the volume down so we can hear you, man.
Oh, okay. You guys still there?
Yes.
We are.
Alrighty. Volume being turned down.
So.
Alright, so there we go.
Welcome back to the show.
Right. Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing good.
We're good, yes.
Yeah, I was actually listening before. I just forgot my password, so I had to kind of do a bunch of annoying shit to get it. So, it seems like you guys had a pretty, pretty fun kind of show going on. Sharing some stories and stuff. It's always cool,
Yeah, absolutely. What's your favorite horror movie?
Man, I talk to my dad about this sometimes. I talk about my dad and my mom, out of all people, are the people I can share anything with, right? And, it's weird, because I can just go on about, all these, sentimental stories and shit. Like, I was, 13 years old, and, really into horror movies. There was this place, Hollywood Movies, I think, in the mall.
Right.
And I just had an obsession. I just, really I really just was so enamored by all these movies. Like, I really was moved by these movies, truly. I mean, like Nosferatu, and just seeing the visuals and seeing the artistic refinement of all. It just was, I mean, like, you know, it's weird that I'd be kind of seduced by these, like, sadomasochistic, slasher, weirdo kind of movie, you know, but... But it was cool. To me, like, it was just coming through a pure lens, you know? It was just good entertainment. So I thought it was. But, you know, I kind of grew out of it, though, to be honest, because I saw so many. It's one of those kind of case stories where you become a bit desensitized to it, you know? Because you just see so many of them. You know? But I'm happy, like, I'm really happy that I kind of fell into that little niche, though, you know, that I found my own... you know, affinity for, you know, theater, or what I like in theater, you know, or movies.
Right.
I think that goes back to why people like horror movies. You know, what is it about them that makes people want to watch? You know, from a person's perspective, they can watch, they can get on a big kick of horror movies, and they want to watch like a ton of them, and then they become maybe desensitized, or, you know, it becomes less kicked.
Yeah.
And then they just kind of let
you
it
know,
go.
I grew up in a good time, though. I mean, did you guys grow up at a time where you could go and watch these movies? Like, I can't really hear you too well. I'm sorry. I might need to turn my volume up, but on the phone. But did you guys grow up at a time where you could actually go and kind of, like, persistently watch movies on the weekend, like, that you liked, horror movies, I mean?
Absolutely.
Sure. I mean, I'm 35, and the Beast is 34?
33, yeah.
Right. So kind of the same time. Like I said before, though, growing up, I really didn't see too many horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they...
I guess I missed that part, sorry.
That's okay. But yeah, there was always stuff on HBO, or you could rent it on VHS, or, you know, once I did start...
Yeah, HBO's badass for good horror flicks and stuff, you know. That's because they still, you know, like, still garner, like, some... They still care, you know. other people just give up. They're like, oh, it's too violent. Or
Absolutely. I had the benefit of growing up in the Midwest and in the Ohio area, and so we were on the weekends always going to different friends of my parents' house, and they would all drink and party, and the kids would stay up and watch movies, and me and my friend Mariah, we were both avid horror film watchers, so every weekend it was about how many horror films we could pack in before we both passed out.
Yeah.
You guys had some jonesing for some good movies, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We saw all kinds of them. There were movies that I don't even think you could find today that we managed to watch. There was one in particular that surrounded a lighthouse, and it was kind of a zombie flick, but there was something about this lighthouse, and I can't even remember.
Right? Lighthouses are spooky, yeah. Ghostly.
And I can't even actually remember the title of the movie. It's been so long since I've seen it, but it was just kind of this obscure lighthouse, and I always thought that was really pretty neat because, well, I lived just outside of Lake Erie, and so there were actually a few lighthouses, and...
Did you see these obscure movies on TV, or did you
watch them
on VHS? Or
actually, a couple of ways. We either we'd watch them on VHS, and if it was one of the nights where we were allowed to camp in the backyard, there was a drive-in movie theater that was just behind the house, and
cool.
So all you had to do was just bring your radio out and turn it to the right frequency. And then you could sit down and watch it from the comfort of the tent, which that was usually like a really scary experience all by itself. Because
that must have been fun. That must have been really fun. Because I know, like, when you're a kid, there's nothing like camping out with your friends or kind of playing, like, on a weekend kind of little, like, you know, you're doing this kind of voyeuristic truth or dare kind of stuff, you know, or it's just
right.
That kind of stuff is so tantalizing when you're a young kid. It's like, you know, just even little, you know, what now is completely, like, pointless, where it's like, oh, man, we need everything. That, you know, that's, like, nothing to, you know, to adults, obviously. I mean, I'm only 23, but still, you know, I guess I'm an adult, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just sounds like some good fun, man. That's cool, you know?
It was a blast. It certainly was.
Did you guys talk about Land of the Living Dead by any chance? Would you guys... Because I love that movie, man. Like, that was one of the very first zombie flicks that I was introduced to, you know. Because my dad, you know, he watched some of those. So, eventually, it was like, you know, Island of Lost Souls. And...
Right.
Another good movie. Another cool movie.
Actually, Night of the Living Dead, as I'd actually mentioned earlier on this show, that was my favorite of all times.
Oh, all right. Nice.
It was the first one I ever saw.
Oh yeah, that had a lot of impact on a lot of horror movie fans.
Yeah, black and white movies are like. What, do you guys like black and white? Like, do you still watch black and white movies? White, just any, not even horror, but just any kind of like 50s kind of like even, you know, any kind of 50s, 40s movies and stuff.
Yeah.
60s.
I still do, not as much as color, obviously. Yeah, I can still get into movies like that.
I love it when they add the black and white element to it. It doesn't even really particularly matter. The actual nature of the film itself. If you remember Sin City, that was a movie I really got into.
Yeah,
they had some blood. They made certain effects though, right? Like they made some color effects.
Little parts of it like the blood or the color of someone's eyes or a certain coat they were wearing or a scarf or something.
Now, that was one movie. Yeah, that was one hell of a movie. That really was. It was like, it reminded me straight out of like something out of a comic book, like a comic book brought to flesh, you know, kind of.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what they did. Yeah.
I never read. Yeah, I guess you know, I don't. My knowledge on comic books, I guess, is kind of rather limited because I never really got that into them and stuff, you know. Like I never. Some people say, "Oh, Glenn Danzig, like that guy. He even made comic Veronica. He made." But I never even,
right.
Even though I like him and I like his music, I never even got into. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Never really got into it.
Yeah, it's something that, I don't know. It's
I tried
popular,
to,
culture,
honestly.
Not as popular as
I did.
People
think. I'm just too young at the time. Couldn't appreciate it.
I'm sorry, Avenger. What was that, man?
Oh, yeah. Sorry,
I was just saying that the comic books, you know, while part of popular culture, aren't really as popular as some people think. I mean, the only reason that Spider-Man or Batman is really that popular is because of TV shows and movies. You know, if it just was a comic book, I bet half the people in the United States wouldn't know who Spider-Man or Batman were.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I think comic books are cool for what they are, but, yeah, they don't seem to have a mass appeal like movies or even books or, you know, things like that.
And they have a bad reputation sometimes, too. You know? Like people think you're just, like, nerdy fetishes kind of that persist. But it's not. It's just an animated book.
Right.
Really. I mean.
Yeah, graphic novel, I guess.
Yeah, graphic novel, yeah. There you go. So it's. I mean, I still read children's books because I think a lot of those are, well, you know, if you're into the whole magical kind of thing, it's, you know, if you've gotten into like a certain kind of magical, say, I don't know, lifestyle, but that's a little vague to say lifestyle. It's a little, or maybe it's too much just to say that, you know, because no one really completely does that, I guess. But yeah, I mean, you know, like any just kind of children's, some children's books are cool, you know, Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, I think children's books, you know, work on the imagination.
Yeah.
Maybe on a different level than a lot of other books. And so in that way, I think
it's like a medium, kind of, you know?
Yeah, it kind of it's more symbolic at times. It's more text or just uninhibited imagination.
Yeah, it's great because like Goosebumps, you just really, for example, like Goosebumps, you can kind of like make your own flick in your own head. You can make your own kind of like visual setting, you know. When I was a young kid, that's why I got into them, you know, because it weren't just words on a page. It kind of did a little, it stimulated, you know, the imagination. Oh.
Yeah.
It was fun back then.
That I loved when I was a kid, and today it still has something of an impact, you know. I can remember looking at all the artwork and reading the story and about these goblins that try to capture the colors of the rainbow in order to drink in the colors and I don't know, become stronger or something.
Yeah, it's definitely cool seeing. Oh, I'm sorry, no, I didn't mean to interrupt.
What's that?
No, I was just saying it's kind of cool seeing all these different interpretations from like a classic Celtic Irish kind of thing with fairies and leprechauns to like a more begrimmed, you know, like more horror. Well, plainly, like the more horror kind of. So like you know, Leprechaun the movie, for example, like you know the little. It's funny that Leprechaun is called a fairy. He's called a fairy, even though he's like a fucking, like monster, basically.
Yeah.
You know, like.
I've never subjected myself to that new franchise, but I know what
I still think they're great. I don't care how, like schmaltzy and schlock, like just cheesy. You know, but it's still they're just funny. I don't know.
Chucky movie too, with like the doll that comes to life and does stuff.
Oh, Chucky.
Yeah, did you watch that too?
Oh man, yeah, Bride of Chucky. When I was a young kid, I loved Bride of Chucky. I mean, I just can flat out say that. Seeing that in the theaters, yeah. That was sick.
That's the type of horror movie that I just can't get into. It's not really a horror comedy, but
yeah.
Horror done not fully seriously.
Hmm.
For me, I don't know about UTC, but I just can't get into that. I can't watch it and fully enjoy it. You know, I might watch it just because it's on TV, but then I'll be like ripping on it and I'll turn off it just doesn't do anything for me.
There is, I think that there were some really cool elements that they tried to incorporate in the Chucky concept, which, you know, the whole voodoo, you know, live forever type deal, but it just got, it got out of control. They didn't hone it correctly.
Yeah, the last two, like, really, the last two were terrible. The last two were the worst I've ever seen. Bride of Chucky was decent, I thought, because when you were a kid, I just liked horror anyway. So I was like, oh, all right, great, yeah, cool. You know?
Well, we've only actually...
Go ahead.
Yeah, I guess I'll let you guys... Yeah, I guess we'll let you guys finish up the show and everything, but hey, thanks for letting me call in, man. It was cool.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, man.
And,
no doubt. I'll try to catch you guys next week, man. Definitely, for sure. All right, so long. Take care. Have a nice weekend.
Yeah, you too, man.
Peace out.
Later.
So, before we go, any horribles you want to list or talk about or just not talk about?
Let me think. I think we've covered a lot, but there's so much. Everything that we do every week, we try to cram pack an hour with something that you just couldn't possibly discuss in that time frame.
Right.
And I guess I could say that horror movies are definitely that they've been a huge inspiration on pop culture at least since the 80s. And even more so in some arenas. For instance, Jason Sorrell, avid horror movie person as well. He does a lot of his artwork based off of ideas that he's seen from different horror films over the years. And there's definitely something cool about it. And I don't know what else to say to it otherwise.
I think that's all that needs to be said. So,
Yeah, I guess that means we're out of here.
Yeah, we're out of here.
Thank you for listening to The Ooze. Opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily reflect those held by Venture or Beast or any institution associated with us. The Ooze does not condone any illegal or unethical acts. If you have been offended during the production of the show, we're sorry, but as the old expression goes, tough luck. Thank you, and see you next week.